Oh, hey Tim, Scientology invited us to their New Year's dinner.
Oh, that's nice.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's a review of 2015. We talk about movies, games, and things in our lives that happened this year, and what we're looking forward to next year.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hey, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Happy New Year!
And Molly Glover.
Happy New Year 2016! Woo!
And it is the end of 2015, the beginning of 2016. Yeah. You'll notice that it's a year in review episode, and I'm saying 2015 and 2016, and not 2000 and.
Goddamn right!
Just for Molly. Just that's how much I love her. We're going to talk about the past year and kind of like how our years went, so maybe some things we talked about in the podcast, and just like some awesome shit that went down.
Yeah.
Best of 2015. Molly, anything in particular stand out for you this year?
Yeah, I got a new job at the same company.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's been amazing. I moved from the sales department over into product development in end of March, March 23rd, 2015. And so it's been, at this point, it's been 9 months, and I have absolutely loved every second of it, even when it was frustrating and I was upset or stressed. I love it. It's really fulfilling work. I love my team. I have been really enjoying the projects I've worked on. Eventually, I'll be able to actually talk about them because they'll be announced. The only game I've done that's been announced is Mafia Vendetta. I have done... Oh, there's other things I've been doing that were announced. The X-Wing Maneuver Dials, X-Wing Wave 8.2 or Wave 8, the Clear Bases and Pegs. I literally can't talk about anything else that I have done so far because none of it's been announced on the website.
Wow.
So I've done like 4 or 5 other games. But
they're super secret games.
Can't tell you about it, but you're going to like them and they're going to be great. It's been a really good year for me career-wise in that sense. I feel like just now, in the last month or so, I finally started to come into my own and I'm comfortable at work and I know what I'm doing as opposed to feeling like I have to ask everybody for help all the time. So,
and there were some company changes this year.
There were. Last year, we announced that we were merging with Asmodee. And then just recently, we did announce that Asmodee North America taking over the business side of things, that's going to be now a split. We are now FFG Studios, they're Asmodee in North America. And there were some changes made to our online sales and policies and distributions, which there's press releases all over if you
cool
want to read
and
about
exciting.
It.
Exciting. Asmodee makes great stuff. So,
yeah, it is really exciting. It won't affect anything I do because I'm still with FFG Studios. I'll still only be making FFG games, working on those. And it's been a lot of fun. I've gotten to learn a lot about Star Wars and X-Wing in terms of the sides of things I hadn't learned about before, which is really like the dogfighting ship stuff, which I hadn't learned about.
Did you learn any? You can't probably be specific, but did you learn any super secret stuff about The Force Awakens before it came out?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah, I did. I knew a bunch of stuff. And so it was really cool to see stuff
like maybe not specific stuff about the movie, but like mythology stuff that was going into it.
Nothing mythos wise. We didn't like the spoiler stuff we learned was mostly because it was just for X-Wing. So what we mostly learned was, you know, obviously we'd been working on the T-70 and the what we call the TIE FO, the First Order TIE, the one with the red panel and the antenna and the turret on the bottom, like that kind of stuff. Because we made those. Those are out now, but like we knew, I've been working on a wave where like there's like art pieces and stuff. There's scenes from the movie where I'm like, oh, now I recognize where that art piece came from because we got some assets and things. And a lot of what we've been getting that's been like super secret stuff, which, you know, has been announced recently with Wave 8 with the Ghost, has been for Rebels. And them not wanting us to know, you know, not wanting things that are upcoming in Rebels or that were upcoming in Rebels, the TV show. the cartoon.
What about Tim, you for 2015 job career stuff? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, this is a tough episode for me. I don't, you know, if I'm like asked to rank 2015, I'm gonna say what it was a 4 out of 10 year.
Yeah,
I was not happy this year. This wasn't a good year. I mean, I left my job to do more writing, and because of a lot of things, I haven't really been able to do what I wanted to do there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a part-time job during the day where I go and do deliveries, and it breaks up my day in such a way that it makes it very hard to get anything going before I leave for work.
Yeah.
And then when I get back from work, it's the afternoon. And like most people, I'm not nearly as productive in the afternoon as
I am. How many hours do you put in at that?
Well, it's only a couple hours, but it doesn't matter. It's just the timing is really bad, and I haven't gotten my head space worked out very well.
But no one wants to get off work and then go do work.
But that doesn't even bother me. It's just like, as a writer, and I think a lot of writers know this, you need some time to kind of get your head into writing. And I write best. I mean, I really do write best between about 9 and noon. And usually
there's no way to rearrange your schedule with the delivery.
No, I mean it is the job that it is,
and I'm delivering catering lunch stuff.
It's a lunch job, and it pays well, and I need a job that I have money coming in, and I've been able to work out a few other ways to bring money in, but I haven't been able to really, you know, there's a lot of things that I haven't gotten done, and it's not that I haven't had the time to get them done. Mm-hmm. It's that I haven't been organizing my time well. And that's my own problem. I'm not blaming that on anyone. I'm not blaming that on the job. I'm blaming that on, I have not got my head right as to how to do this right.
Do you feel like it was a good learning year?
I learned a lot.
Yeah?
I learned a lot. I'm hoping that I can kind of turn a corner. I've got a few ideas that, you know, and I think, you know, I always talk about New Year as being arbitrary to try and change things. But the thing about the New Year being a point where you try to change things is that there's like this 3 to 4 week holiday period that happens in December where everything goes fucking out the window because there's all this other shit going on.
Yep, yep.
And New Year's is that point where you go, okay, well, now I've gotten past that shit. What the fuck was I doing?
Now we're all starting over.
And how can I do it better? So I'm hoping I'll do it better in the New Year. I've got a couple of show ideas I'm really excited about. For The Fringe this year, I want to write a show called... I want to write The Thing, the musical, based on John Carpenter's The Thing. But what makes it a real challenge for me is I mean, you guys have seen the musicals that I've done. What I've done have been satirical. I don't think The Thing lends itself to a satirical treatment. I want to write it...
Horror musical?
I want to write it as a horror.
I like that.
I love that idea so much.
I want there to be humor in it because there's humor in the movie.
You couldn't not have humor. It's a musical based on a horror.
But not satire. You can make it serious.
It can be silly comedy.
That's my favorite horror movie, probably.
I think it's a great effort for you.
It would be a stretch. I don't take any insult from saying it would be a stretch. I've written comedy musicals, and I'm talking about trying to write a serious horror musical. And I don't honestly know if I could do it, but the prospect of it excites me.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
I'm also working, I've got to find a venue for it, so that's been kind of the challenge because I don't know when it's going to happen yet, but I'm working on rewriting something I did for The Fringe a few years ago that I always felt was kind of like half of a good show and really desperately needed a big rewrite. So it's again a new thing for me. It's the first time I'm taking something that I've done and overhauling it and trying to make it cool. A better
work. That's great.
Well, we'll talk more about like plans for next year. That's one thing we'll come around to.
So Nick, what's your, I know your job, your job stuff / I guess, I don't know, career.
Yeah, I
daytime.
My job stuff is two parts. Part one is I quit my full-time job and went back to becoming a full-time student. And I've had a spring semester, a summer semester, and a fall semester, and I just got my final grades for the semester today, and I have a 4.0 GPA for all cumulative GPA. Yep. Yes, I've maintained an A average.
10 classes, 10 A's.
Yes, 10 classes, 10 A's, and I'm two semesters away from being done. I'm eight classes from being done. How I choose to do those over the summer and spring and fall, we'll see what's available. But I'm a year away from being done, which is great.
This time next year, you're probably going to be about to graduate.
Yeah,
most likely.
Or I will be. Yeah. Or I'll be job hunting and
I still don't understand how there are four semesters in a year. That just doesn't make any
sense. There's three semesters.
Well, it's because summer you go to class like almost every day, but it's
summer's
so it's the same
time.
Number of credits in a semester.
But there's no three semesters.
Oh, I know. Believe me,
they're not trimesters. Yeah.
They could just call them sessions.
They could. I'm sorry. I'm getting off topic.
And then the other half of my professional is I got a part-time job in the spring. I haven't been super loud about it or anything because it's just a side thing. But I'm a box office person at the Hennepin Theater Trust, which is the Orpheum State and Pantages Theater. And it's great because I don't bring any of it home with me. I just bus into downtown, do my thing, and bus home to the park and ride. And it pays well because you need to not be an idiot to do the job. Like, you really need to be competent and to have...
Because those theaters, I mean, they seat a lot of people, but they're tiny fucking entryways. Mm-hmm. So you've got a huge crush of people coming in.
I'm
really
not
an
usher.
Oh, no, he's a box out. He does ticket sales.
Well, then, that's what I mean.
But,
the day of, you've got this big push of people coming to the box office.
Lunch hour downtown. Everyone wants to go buy their tickets. They think they're... Yeah. Or Friday afternoon, everyone thinks they're brilliant and they're going to pop out work early and go buy tickets.
Or they get slammed in. People who are like... Give me the best possible seats. And so there is a little bit of that to figure out, like, what are your needs
A lot of people show up to check out a Broadway show for the first time and they don't realize that give me the best possible seats for me and my five friends means they're going to drop, like, almost $1,000 on a show. And so it's been great because a friend of ours is the box office manager there and I get to see her sometimes. And I'm working around a lot of people who are involved in theater and in the arts, but not in comedy at all, any of them.
Yeah.
So it's neat to get exposed to all these people who are in these other dramatic endeavors or dance.
Or dance,
drag performances and stuff like that. And so it's great to work with other theater people who aren't the theater people that I am already always associating with. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
That's one of my favorite things about doing Fringe is I spend a week and a half around people that I don't normally spend any time with.
I get that.
Yeah, I'm excited because I actually might be able to audition for Fringe shows this year. If I can find out ahead of time that I'm not going to Gen Con, I might be able to do that, which would be cool.
And it's been a part-time job in addition to my full-time schooling, and keeps me out of trouble, brings in a little bit of money, and it's low responsibility, but like... I'm never bored.
Yeah.
And when it's at its very busiest, it's never a nightmare.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about our year for the podcast? Is there any episodes that stuck out this past year for you guys?
Well, obviously, going to Scientology was and all of us doing that thing that sticks out.
That was a big thing.
That was a thing that happened.
They finally stopped calling me. Just this, I blocked the woman's cell phone number.
So maybe she's still calling you. You just don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I always love our live recordings we do. You know, at Die Laughing and at Convergence. That was a lot of fun.
The board game roundup for OmegaCon was fun.
Yeah,
I liked doing that.
I like talking about board games. Mm-hmm. And OmegaCon is that opportunity to talk about those things. I don't know what the hell's going on upstairs. If you guys can hear that thumping,
Children of the Flies up there.
Literally sounds like someone's being murdered.
Or I'm thinking like pro wrestling practice.
Yeah.
I'm just looking back at some of the the God's Not Dead episode we did with Ron.
That
was great.
Tony was awesome.
That was very fun.
I had a lot of fun talking to Aaron Shepherd.
That was
a good episode. I enjoyed that one a lot.
It was fun to get to know her.
I've been thinking about that a lot lately because she talked at the time about, I think it wasn't Easter, but talked about going to religious places for holiday dinners and that kind of thing because I always think about that.
How about Do you guys have favorite movies of 2015? I know Star Wars is fresh in everyone's mind.
Yeah, we just did the
The episode about it. Other than Star Wars, anything really stick out?
I'm always so bad at just remembering things at the top of my head in terms of movies, but like I really loved Mad Max Fury Road.
I was going to mention that one.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably the one that I that stuck out the most for me, other than
Fury Force Road was a seriously...
It was great.
It was everything a Mad Max movie should be, and probably a little bit more than that.
We really lucked out this year with old franchises being renewed in a way that makes fans really nervous about like being close to the originals and getting a good result. Fallout 4 for video games, that was one for me where it was like they really... I've been playing that a lot this past month or two, and it's been they really... I've had a stellar time with the game.
I'll say a disappointment I had with a next edition in a franchise was Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer, which I didn't actually buy the game. I watched Dawn play it before a show.
Yeah.
And
Dawn Krasnowski.
Or before a meeting here at Tim's, and she was just like, she showed it to me, and she was even Dawn was just kind of like, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I just kind of do this thing. She's like, it seemed like it was fun for maybe a day or two. And then it was like, oh, okay, it's just this. That's one thing where I was like, I'm glad I didn't buy it. It's too bad because I really love Animal Crossing. And it just means that they spent all that time doing that, which means it's just that much longer until we get a real game.
Yeah.
You know,
treading water.
But I think they might be waiting for a new system because they've already got the one for Wii U, and they put out one for...
What didn't come out for the Wii U, did it?
Just I thought City Folk was... No, oh, that was just for the Wii. That was just for the Wii.
There hasn't been one that used the new pad.
Maybe one will come out for the Wii U. That would be great. Nintendo, I know you listen to our podcast, so
they
I'm
do,
just saying.
Because everybody at Nintendo is
Tim,
a geeky atheist.
Mm-hmm. Has your year in video games been Clash of Clans?
Clash of Clans, I play a lot. I play Boom Beach, which is actually kind of like Clash of Clans, only slightly different skin. But it's a
World War
kind of game. There's a game, Jurassic World. They actually came out with a game which is about training up dinosaurs and fighting dinosaurs.
Oh, cool.
Like Pokemon style?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like Pokemon style.
Or Monster Rancher.
Like Pokemon style. And there's a lot of, because you're fighting against other people.
Okay.
Oh,
not
cool.
against the computer.
Sure.
Oh, that's
and there's
cool.
a lot of game theory that goes into it, and I basically figured out how to basically kick just about any fucking idiot's ass.
Just you figured out
that.
The optimized.
I've got pretty much the optimized strategy. And
that's
I can lose.
With that horse racing game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then there's a new game I just got introduced to. I do most of my gaming on my phone.
Yeah.
And the
it's
new
legit.
Game that I got introduced to, it's actually a 2014 game, but super addictive, is called Crossy Road.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is Frogger. It's Frogger, except it never... It's endless Frogger.
It's endless Frogger with a billion different skins and animations.
The skin that I just unlocked is a Pac-Man skin.
Cool.
Fucking awesome, because you're Pac-Man, and you don't get... Normally, you get points by, like, moving forward on the board. If you're Pac-Man, you only get points by eating dots.
There
are power
sure.
pellets, and if there are power pellets, the cars, which are now ghosts,
the
cars all turn blue, and you can kill them.
That's crazy.
I like the... There's, like, a dragon where sometimes when you're jumping forward, you scorch trucks when they pass by you and stuff,
one
and the robot...
Favorites. One of my favorites is the wizard, because as he's jumping forward every now and again, he just zaps a tree.
Just a cute little animation.
I played a really fun iPhone game this year called Monument, which is like a puzzle game. But it's like a puzzle. Like it's a get to from point A to point B game with, you know, variations as you go. But the coolest thing is it's in kind of a three-dimensional. And so what you might think is an impassable path, if you use your finger and turn the puzzle, now you're like, oh now I can get there.
It's like
and
Fez.
It is like Fez.
I gotta say, and I haven't unlocked any of the characters for it yet, but apparently there's a monument skin for Crossy Road.
Oh, that would be really cool.
It's 3D isometric view.
I bet that would be really cool for a game, from what you're describing.
This was the year of Neko Atsume, wasn't it?
Neko Atsume was fun.
I thought Neko Atsume was fun for a while, and then I got done with it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is my kids today moment, because now the version you get on the App Store is all in English. Everything's in English. The cat names, their likes and dislikes, their visits, all of it's in English now.
So you have to figure it out.
My friends who have it, who are getting it now, this game was a mystery to us. We just had to, like, I was like, I don't know, what is this? Fish? And I'm buying a a thing, and this cat's name is, I don't know what that says, but he just says this, and it didn't even say like likes and then Japanese. It was just Japanese all over the place.
Yep, you didn't know anything.
It was, yeah.
I will say my favorite new tabletop game is Stone Age.
Ooh.
I have loved playing Stone Age.
I haven't heard of that.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's a resource allocation game.
Okay.
And your little dudes are your stone in the Stone Age, so your cave people. Mm-hmm. I will be politically correct and say cave people.
Sure.
Because you have to actually, because one of the things you can do is reproduce, and you gotta send two cave people into a hut. So pretty much it's gonna
end.
They two people go into the hut, three people leave. So
it's like opposite of Thunderdome.
Yeah,
reverse Thunderdome.
Reverse Thunderdome.
That's what I'm gonna start calling
making babies.
Yeah,
reverse Thunderdome.
So, yeah.
So it's all about, you know, gathering resources so that you can build huts for your people, and like most of the resource allocation games, you know, like Seven Wonders or any of those other games like that, it's all about diversification of points because if you put all your points in one basket, you're probably going to lose because there aren't enough points in any single any single means to win the game.
That's cool. Very anyway, Seven Wonders-y.
It is, but it's more maybe...
And the points,
It's more maybe Agricola, if people...
Okay.
Although considerably simpler to play than Agricola, but the same sort of mechanic of you send your people out to do certain things, and each action is available only to one person. So
that's cool.
If one person does an action, then
they've taken it up.
I have a cool question that I just occurred to me. So what's one thing you did this year that you're very proud of? If you can, I can go first if you want, because I just thought of something. So I, with no practice and just decided to get up there and do it, did a mimed striptease before Rocky Horror Picture Show in November.
That's an opening act,
When we went out for Nick's birthday to see Ant-Man, our friend Cynthia was like, would you ever want to do something, you know, as an opening act before Rocky Horror, like maybe in November? And I was like, sure. Hey, I could do this mime striptease. We just went out and saw this thing for Nick's birthday that was like a couple
days
last year. That
burlesque.
Was the Animaniacs Burlesque. And in that, the mime character for Mime Time did this whole like, you know, strip thing, but hers was a whole deal, like a first date thing. And I was like, a mime striptease is a funny idea. Like, I bet I can make that funny. And then fast forward to it's November, and she's like, are you still doing this? And I hadn't rehearsed it or anything, but I was like, I did. And it was, I think it went really well.
Great.
It was really fun and funny. It was well received. And even though I was nervous, I don't usually get nervous before I go on stage, but I was really nervous. And I was really proud for not saying, no, I didn't rehearse it. I'll do it another time.
That was your first burlesque.
That was my first burlesque.
Yeah.
I don't know. The show I wrote this spring for Fearless, Jenny Bandage versus the Unpronounceable Acronym, is the first completely original play that I've ever written.
Like, not satire or borrowing.
It was satire on James
Bond. But you know what I mean.
Not literally borrowing from
not
an
parody.
Existing...
Not parody, there we go.
Yeah, not literally borrowing from existing material. Well, that's... Okay, actually, it's not, now that I think about it, it's not, but even so, it was a full-length play, it was, you know, with an intermission, so
not
it was
a fringe length,
longer than anything I've written, so,
and it was funny.
I felt like it was a really good show,
and
I was really happy with it, so that is probably what I was proudest of this
year.
That's
a good thing. Nick?
I mean,
your GPA?
Yeah, the GPA seems like the obvious thing.
That's what I would go with, honestly.
It's been awesome.
You had a really high kill ratio in Destiny.
I did have a really high kill ratio in Destiny.
No, it's true. It was actually kind of insane.
I was doing pretty great. I haven't touched that game since Fallout came out. All my friends are still talking about it in this little private chat we have going, and I'm just like, I'll be back during winter break, guys. Don't worry about it. And that hasn't happened yet. So what about 2016?
I am excited. So this year, 2015, I didn't run as much. I kind of just followed my brain and body, and I didn't feel like running as often as I had in the past years. So I took kind of a fallow year, which I think was, sometimes it's my brain's way of being like, you need to take a year off a bit, or our knees will break.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to doing more running next year, especially with an El Nino winter.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to.
Right.
But also, I'm looking forward to just more of work with the new game stuff, and I want to audition. I want to do more auditioning. Nick and I both agreed. Like, I want to audition for more stuff because I act, And I was pretty good. And I think I'm pretty good at it, but I don't do that anymore. I only ever do improv and comedy and, like, you know, Vilten, which isn't really improv, but it's close, you know. And so I am excited to, now that I have a, now that I'm not traveling for work at the drop of a hat and I don't have to worry about, you know, missing out on stuff, I would like to audition for more things.
Tim, anything, what's ahead?
Well, I talked a little bit about some shows I'm thinking about. I have the Pat and I did, it was our 25th anniversary last year, and we didn't get to go on a big 25th anniversary trip. So this year we're talking about trying to go to Utah and do a big tour of all the national parks in Utah. Cause we've never
just you guys, not the kids, just the two of you?
No, it'll probably be us and the kids.
Okay.
It'll probably be with the kids, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing.
They're all right.
I am... There's one thing that I'm really kind of toying with because, you know, like I said, I'm not thrilled with how I did with my writing this year. Is I'm toying with... there's a friend of ours named Tansy Undercrypt, and every day she writes a one-paragraph horror story.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm like...
Sometimes poetry, too, kind of.
And I'm, like, toying with trying to... Like, creating an online...
A blog to do that.
A blog that's just writing a comedy story a day or every, or three comedy stories a week, maybe not every day, but but hopefully working up to every day. But I just feel like even if it sucks, I need to flex that muscle.
Yeah.
And one of them might turn into a full play.
Exactly.
Or
that's the thing. The more things that you write down, the more ideas that you've got for writing something that's a more full length.
That's
so I feel like
the only way to write is to write. It sounds so stupid, but
writing, right? Yep. Write a page a day, no matter what it is.
And I know that. And I know that, and that's been the problem. But if I, you know, I feel like if I look at something that's a very manageable length, and just say, no, I'm going to do this much, and I don't care if it sucks. I'm just going to put it out there and let people read it, and they can tell me it sucks, or they can tell me they like it, or they can say nothing at all, but it's but it happens.
I like that idea.
So that's kind of what I'm, what my big thought of something to do to really kind of...
Refocus your energies.
Refocus myself.
Yeah, get yourself into the mindset, because that's the hardest part, is getting yourself into the mindset of now I'm writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Nick?
Oh, I mean, graduation is a bit. I'm looking forward to getting done with school. I'm thinking about like projects and stuff that I want to accomplish, like having a little routing lab at home, and there's some stuff that like I've been meaning to do that I think, you know, I want to do this year in that vein. Network infrastructure at home that like. Best practice stuff that's also good experience for me that is bragging rights-ish for work stuff or interviews or whatever. I think I'm really, like, less seriously than that, less about myself than that. I'm really looking forward to... There's a couple movies I know are going to come out next year. I know there's a bunch more, but I didn't bother to look at, like, a list of what's coming out. But,
we can always do that another episode.
Yeah, the Deadpool movie is coming out just in February. And Civil War. Yep.
Guys, I got to tell you, the movie that nobody's thinking about that's coming out that I loved because I saw it in a sneak at Bundomathon this year is Eddie the Eagle.
I've heard a little bit,
underdog sports movie about Eddie Edwards, who's a dude from England who was a ski jumper in 1988.
It's a documentary?
No. It's a fictional biography of
a real person.
Of a real person. He wanted to be an Olympian so bad, and he discovered that England didn't have a ski jumping team. So in a year, he learned how to be a ski jumper.
Okay.
Just good enough. I mean, he sucked compared to the best in the world. He was just good enough
to go to the Olympics. That's kind of cool.
And it's got
forever an Olympic athlete.
Hugh Jackman plays his coach, is freaking amazing. And I can't remember his last name.
Is it comedy?
It is very silly. It's funny, but have you seen Cool Runnings?
Yes, a long time ago. Yeah.
Okay. Cool Runnings is about the Jamaican bobsledding team. from the 1980s.
Tell me more about Cool Runnings, Tim.
And it's about Cool Runnings is about the bobsledding team from the 1980
right.
Olympics.
Right, so it's similar to that.
Eddie Edwards was in the same Olympic Games.
Oh,
so the two stories happened at the same time.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Is there a crossover? Do they?
They mention the Jamaican bobsledding team
do they?
In the movie. They do.
Is John Candy's ghost in the background?
The thing is, the dude who plays the lead, it's Taron, and I can't remember his last name. He's the lead from Kingsman.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I got to tell you, his performance is really
he's
amazing.
He's Eggsy,
yeah.
He's Eggsy because there's nothing of Eggsy in this character.
Cool. Cool.
I'm excited to see
it. It's. I'm not going to say it's going to be the best movie you're going to see this year, but it was a ton of fun.
All right.
Speaking as somebody who watched the Idiot Olympics in a large part because Eddie the Eagle was just like this totally awesome dude who could ski jump just good enough to be in the Olympics. And it was just great because he loved being in the Olympics so much and he didn't care that everybody else was better.
See, when I was that age, that's all it was about was the Summer Olympics because I liked watching Jackie Joyner-Kersee. So that was my... But then I got more into figure skating, but then the Tonya Harding thing happened and then figure skating wasn't as fun to watch anymore. But
so anyway...
I've never let him into the Olympics, ever.
So this movie comes out in April, and, you know, even if you aren't into sports...
Yeah.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
Cool.
And it makes ski jumping about as interesting as you can make ski jumping.
That's impressive.
No, seriously.
So, I guess, like, for me, like, I guess, like, that's nice that you guys are looking forward to movies. I'm just looking forward to a little something called the presidential election. So I guess it's just a little more important.
And by the presidential election, you mean Channing Tatum as Gambit.
Yes. Of course I'm excited for Channing Tatum as Gambit. Are you fucking insane? Like, my panties are already off, Nick. Like, they're gone. They're running away. They're gone.
I saw them.
Mon Chéri, they're gone.
They waved at me.
They did. They were like, oh, bonsoir. I am excited for the caucus. I am.
It's right around the corner.
I'm feeling fired up. I think Sanders has a chance to get the nominee. I think that with this recent, I think all this stuff the DNC is doing is going to backfire in their fucking faces. And this recent thing where they're messing with the voter list of Bernie's and trying to get the media blackout. And the more attention, the more conservatives that come out and are like, I'm voting for Bernie Sanders. And just
something I've seen a good number of conservatives coming out and being like, I don't agree with them on a lot of shit, but
we need
to fix our government first.
I would
first.
Still be surprised if Bernie Sanders gets
Are you going to vote in the caucus, Tim?
I am going to vote for him in the caucus.
All right, then.
Awesome.
I will vote for Bernie Sanders as long as I am able to vote for
him. Every opportunity
Please,
you can.
Guys, seriously, if you are listening to this, and if you don't know a lot about Bernie Sanders' politics, we are all in agreement here that we think he's the best fit. Please look it up.
I don't agree with him on some stuff, but I feel like even the things I don't agree with him on, if he can fix the stuff he wants to fix, then the next president will be even better.
I'm sure we'll be getting way more into politics as the year progresses. We got lots of time.
That's going to be a big thing. 2016 is going to be big.
There's going to be a gubernatorial race, too. Dayton's not running. So there's going to be that as well. It's going to be a lot of political change.
Hey, you know what we get to see this year? We get to see a friend of the show, Robert Cargill's Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah, that's right. We can finally talk
Why?
About
because
the fact that...
Because we can finally fucking talk about that.
Yep. Our friend Cargill is the one that wrote Doctor Strange.
Strange.
It's very complicated. He wasn't the original writer, but he was brought in. He was the writer on set. By the way, I saw Benedict Cumberbatch do a Robert Cargill impersonation.
I heard about this.
Which was fucking hilarious.
I heard the video is probably going to be up on Ain't It Cool soon.
There was something we saw that I can't talk about, but I can talk about seeing Benedict Cumberbatch doing
Robert
Cargill.
I like someone with horror and fantasy... like magical chops, like his novels is helping with Strange. Gives me confidence.
There's no guarantee that it's going to be a good movie, but I have a lot of confidence because I have a lot of confidence in Cargill and
Marvel.
He has a huge
Cargill.
He has a huge love for the character, and I think that's going to come across in what he's doing.
Couldn't hurt.
Yeah, and speaking of Benedict Cumberbatch, I do have to say, in just a couple of days after this episode drops, there's going to be some new Sherlock.
Oh, yeah. And it looks really good, and I'm really excited.
It's like an old
timey Victorian.
Yeah.
It's a Victorian setting Sherlock.
It's exciting. It's very exciting.
So that's
And then we have to wait 5 more years for another season.
And then there's a new. Yeah, we got to. And then we got to do. But there's a new Daredevil coming up too, isn't
there? No. In April?
First quarter of 2016, we get Daredevil, and then later this year, we'll get Luke Cage.
I think it's Daredevil in April, Game of Thrones in April.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting because right now...
Because they're going to pass the book.
With Game of Thrones, now they're past the books.
Yeah.
So at this point now, it's all like... I don't know what's going to happen either.
The people they kill, nobody's going to know.
I know.
It'll be a surprise.
It actually makes it pretty exciting for watching it.
Yeah. So that's our 2015 and our what we're looking forward to in 2016.
Get out of here, 2015. Come on over, 2016.
Tell us about your year. What do you have, like a favorite show or movie or moment in your life this past year, or a favorite episode of our podcast? We'd love to know.
Yeah, tell us about us.
It's hard for us to talk about what we liked the best about ourselves.
It kind of feels weird.
It really isn't.
Well, no. I mean, frankly,
you met us, Molly? What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, if people tell us that they liked one kind of thing and or they didn't like another kind of thing, maybe that'll influence what we do in the future, or maybe we won't give a fuck.
That's the most likely
scenario.
Like Janice
in accounting.
And then tell us what you're looking forward to in 2016.
Because Janice in accounting doesn't give a fuck.
She does not give a fuck.
Hey, you know what? We also introduced a new 5 questions this year.
We did.
That's true.
That's such a good segue.
Oh my God.
It's the kind of segue that has a handle that doesn't blow you up when you try to ride it.
Hoverboard joke.
Hoverboards are blowing up and people are dying.
Hoverboards are blowing up.
Blowing up.
Literally.
It's just like Back to the Future, only different.
And everyone
who
dies.
Our answers from?
We have 5 answers from Ian Bryan from Richfield, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, Ian.
Yeah, Ian. Last time he did not sign his name. If you remember when I read some questions and was like, and these came from? I don't know. So that
We have answers.
Now we know Ian Bryan.
In retrospect, we know where the other ones were from.
Yeah.
Yes,
he'll always be, Cthulhu ski mask Ian. Forever. Question number one, what's a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
I can always enjoy Fifth Element. I think it is an incredible movie with great actors, great visual design, a fun story, and Luke Perry dies in it. Lol.
I think, you never know if he dies. But anyway, I think, I think Fifth Element is a perfect example for this question, because I think Fifth Element is an okay movie, but it is really fucking watchable.
Oh,
it's
beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's always just before that part.
I know. Yeah.
yeah.
You turn on the movie, you're like, the opera scene's coming. Yep,
I thought we were going to leave. Now hang on 5 minutes. There's a part I like.
She's about to say multipass. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So a perfect answer.
English is bad English.
Totally
when we came up with that question, that's the kind of movie.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Question number two, what is your geekiest or most prized possession?
I would have to say my most prized and geekiest possession would have to be a Magic the Gathering deck that was made by my late uncle. Not long before he passed away, he was reducing his collection a bit and said that I could pick out some decks and cards I wanted. I got some pre-constructed decks you can buy prepackaged, some loose cards, and a deck that he built himself. And I still have that last deck, and I will never disassemble it. I will keep it just as he made it and play with it from time to time in memory of him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's great.
That's a good...
Except it makes me want to cry.
Right? Yeah. Fuck you,
Ian. Because he's playing Magic.
Yeah.
that's really great.
I'm sorry. Question number three. Which supernatural, magical, or all-powerful being do you wish was real?
I would want the Shinigami from Death Note to be real.
Oh, yeah, the death gods.
This is mainly because I really wish I could have a Death Note.
What? If
you are not familiar with what a Death Note is, it is a supernatural notebook that the Shinigami use that grants its user the ability to kill anyone whose name and face they know. I would use it like you have discussed in God's Not Dead episode to take out people like child molesters or killers, rapists, hate mongers, and the like.
It's a notebook.
He's a sociopath of the heart of gold.
Here's the question that'll bake me is, if I had one of those, would I take out Donald Trump?
Mm.
So the Death Note, note is notebook. It's Japanese slang notebook. So Death Note, it's just like a regular college ruled, like, static cover notebook. Mm-hmm. You write, on the morning of December 22nd, Tim Wick has a heart attack and falls dead in his bowl of cereal.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Tim dies the next day.
There's a Stephen King short story that is basically that, only the guy's an obituary writer.
Because I don't eat cereal.
But you got a wild hair up your
morning.
Ass.
You did this morning.
And the next morning, and tomorrow morning, if I eat cereal, I'm going to be like, fuck.
And so, but the best thing about this anime is that there's a, like, it's a totally like a Sherlock Holmes Moriarty thing going, where the guy who has the notebook is a brilliant, brilliant guy who's trying to fix the world in his own fucked up way.
Sure.
And there's this brilliant Sherlock Holmes guy who is figuring out who he is by who's dying.
Ah.
And figuring out how he's killing them. And eventually he's like, well, I guess magic must fucking exist.
Sure.
And so now we need to find this magic killer. It's great.
Ian, I'd like to point out that in this example, you are Moriarty. So
that's true. That's true. Yeah. But like a good dish.
But everybody likes Moriarty more than Sherlock Holmes, because Moriarty appears in like two Sherlock Holmes stories, and yet he's the only villain anybody ever talks about.
That's fair. That's fair.
All right. So question number four, say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem that now faces the human race, or the world, or the universe?
If religion was gone, I would say chauvinism or male supremacy would be one of the biggest problems that would still face humanity. Though much of it in the world is grounded in a religion, a great deal of it is still cultural. So even if you take out the religious excuse, it will still be in those cultures, and those kinds of men will always find an excuse.
MRA...
MRA holes. It's hard. Well, that's a chicken and egg thing. It's like, if we'd never had religion, maybe we wouldn't have that problem, because so many early cultures were, you know, matriarchal.
Early cultures were matriarchies, and generally they shifted to patriarchies when guys figured out they had something to do with producing children.
Yeah.
I learned that from the cartoon guide to the history of the universe.
Yeah. Man mothers. Like they say, like that, like the Adam. You don't believe in man mothers, do you?
Question number five. What is your favorite quote?
I found this one recently. Quote, I would not say it to a living soul, of course, but this is dead paper and a great relief to my mind. That's from The Yellow Wallpaper by Charlotte Perkins Stetson. As someone who suffers from depression, this rings very true. It is many times easier to express how you feel in writing than to be able to speak it aloud to another person.
Hmm.
And to bring up the mood a little, another quote I like. He did it with all the subtlety of a clown fight.
Yeah. That's great. That feels like Groucho-ish. I know it's not, but it, you know.
Yeah.
It's clever.
Thanks, Ian.
If you want to send us your answers to our five questions, you can send them to 5questions@geeksofthegod.com. Our list for those isn't terribly long. We'll get to your answers pretty quickly. That's another way of saying, please send us your answers, because we don't have a ton of them ahead of us.
Ian sent his answers in October, so to give you an idea, we're not that far ahead.
No. We'll get to them pretty quickly. We could always use more. If you answered our old questions, answer our new ones. If you answered our new ones, fucking wait.
Happy New Year! You fucking animals.
And on that note, we've been Geeks Without God. You can find us on Facebook. Please like us there. Follow us on Twitter. We're at geekswithoutgod.com. Leave some comments about your favorite moments of 2015 and what you're looking forward to in 2016. I had to do it once. Otherwise, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. I didn't even get to talk about my cats dying.
Well, did you want to?
Not really.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Listen to past podcasts and catch us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. Follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod and like our Facebook page, Geeks Without God.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
I already can think of a bunch of things I forgot.